Well, there's a great deal of concern and anxiety among those who fear the passage of legislation that would repeal the Affordable Care Act, and among the others who are trying desperately to pass it and fulfill what they thought to be an important campaign pledge and promise that they've been making for 8 years. And both sides are anxious. The Republicans, quite frankly, don't have the votes to pass Trump Care or whatever you want to call it, the repeal and replace. So everywhere you go around the Capitol, they are huddled in corners, and I believe the Freedom Caucus is meeting with the president here in a couple hours up at the White House, and they're scrambling, try to put together the 208 votes that they need to pass this legislation. So their anxiety is one of fear of failure, and for many of the rest of us, myself included, it's fear that they might be successful and take insurance away from 24 million people, an estimated 56,000 in my own congressional district, while at the same time giving tax breaks to the richest people in America.
And you covered what a few of your chief criticisms are of the Republican plan here. Maybe could you just expand on that a little bit? You mentioned your district and the impact it would have on Minnesotans. Just talk a little bit, if you don't mind, about what you're hearing from Minnesotans who are also anxious about this proposal.
Well, in the 8th District in particular, as I mentioned, it's estimated by the Congressional Budget Office that 56,000 people would lose their insurance. And by the way, I mean, those are people who are desperately in need of health care. You know, there's someone in their family has been diagnosed with lung cancer or prostate cancer or breast cancer, or they're a victim of an accident that has caused costly repairable damage to their bodies and to their lives. Those are the expensive health care needs that people have, but they're the ones that save people's lives. If you catch cancer, for example, because you have insurance, and you catch it at a stage one or a stage two, you most likely will be able to cure it, save the American taxpayers a lot of money in the process, but more importantly, save the life. If people don't have insurance and can't afford to go to the doctor, then it finally gets discovered when they're so debilitated they're in emergency room. And the treatment is very, very costly, and the prospects for survival have been greatly diminished. And, you know, that's on top of a $600 billion tax cut for the richest people in America. They estimated that someone making $1 million a year or more, not a lot of Minnesotans, a lot of people in New York and California in those categories, they would get a $67,000 tax break under this bill. I mean, that's more money than the average Minnesotan, particularly up in the 8th District, makes in a year. So the juxtaposition of the two tracks breaks for the richest, 400 people in America, while they're taking health insurance away from people desperately in need, so that the people who don't have any health care problems can get a lower cost in their premiums. But that's not what insurance is all about. Life, in so many respects is tenuous. You don't know who's going to have an accident. You don't know who's going to be the next one to get a serious illness. So you kind of all go into it together, and you pay a modest fee together so that the coverage is there for whoever the unfortunate ones are who need it. And that's what's so egregious about repealing the Affordable Care Act and not replacing it with something that gives people the opportunity to survive, most importantly, and to do it in a cost-effective way, which is what the Affordable Care Act does. And by the way, one other aside, I think there's about an estimated by CBO and others, some 50,000 people in the state of Minnesota who would lose their jobs And that's nurses and a whole wide variety of people in delivering healthcare services. So if you're throwing 24 million people in Minnesota's 8th District, 56,000 people off the insurance rolls, that has another incredibly important jobs effect throwing people out of work who are there providing the preventive services, providing the early diagnostic services, providing the treatment services. So there's just so many ways that this bill would have such a devastating effect on people, not just in Minnesota's 8th District, but maybe considerably more in the 8th District because, we're rural, and this takes a great deal of money away from rural hospitals, which are struggling as well. So the opportunity and for the people in rural areas across this country to get the kind of good quality health care services, which, by the way, helps with the budget deficit. The CBO estimates on the Affordable Care Act actually reduce the deficit by as much, if not more, than this so-called Trump Care or repeal and replace. The Trump Care saves money by just denying people services. The Affordable Care Act saves money by getting people the services that they need early when they need it, and saves every bit as much, if not more. More importantly, it saves more lives and protects more jobs.
Congressman, what would you say to Republicans or average folks out there, including people in Minnesota, who say for them clearly the Affordable Care Act hasn't worked and that it's not necessarily spurring competition? And as Donald Trump said earlier today or last night, that the Affordable Care Act was based on lies. I mean, what do you say to those folks who say this isn't working for them?
Well, when they say that it's not working, that's just not true. To a young family with someone who never smoked in their life and is struggling with lung cancer or breast cancer, or to the two-thirds of the men and women in nursing care, in nursing homes, to say that this hasn't worked for them is just fundamentally wrong. Now, if what someone is saying, there are things in our healthcare system that need fixing, of course they're right. There are things that need fixing. There's not enough competition in some areas. As a result of it, frequently people in rural areas end up paying twice what they would pay for the same policy if they lived in a metro area. So my call has been, look, let's not throw the baby out with the bathwater here. Let's preserve all the great things that are included in the Affordable Care Act. And let's go sit down in a bipartisan way and fix the things that we need fixing. But to basically just repeal everything in the Affordable Care Act and not replace it with anything that throws 24 million people off of the insurance rolls, and then in a most egregious way to combine that with this $600 billion tax break for the richest people in America. What has that got to do with health care? It's unfathomable, and it's hard to imagine that this country would do something that would be so harmful to people who are unexpectedly young or old, facing a serious accident or illness and taking their insurance away from them, to take away the Medicaid for old people in their nursing homes. What, are you going to throw them out on the street? It's just unimaginable that someone would propose, let alone something like that would have a chance of a passage and becoming law of the land. Let's sit down in a bipartisan manner under what they call regular order or open rules, where anybody can offer an amendment, have it argued, have it considered. That's how you find common ground. And this idea of just trying to rapidly ram something down people's throat, there's no sacred reason why this thing has to be passed today without hearings, without and bring it before the House of Representatives under a closed rule where yours truly or nobody else will have an opportunity to offer amendments that that could be very successful in helping to fix some of those things that do need fixing. Because there are those people who are either in business or in income brackets where they don't benefit and are having to pay outrageously high insurance premiums for less. That needs to be fixed too. But that's not the cause of the Affordable Care Act. That's just one of the things that the Affordable Care Act didn't fix, and it is something that needs fixing.
You know, one of the criticisms from Republicans about the Affordable Care Act all along has been that it was pushed through by President Obama, and clearly you disagree with that.
Well, absolutely. I mean, the Affordable Care Act was under consideration for almost 6 months. There were countless hearings that went on, hundreds and hundreds of hours of considering amendments and options and alternatives. There has not been one hearing here in the Congress on this repeal and replace where, you know, doctors or nurses or hospitals or the business community or the insurance community or the tax community, anyone could come in and present their views on what they think should be done. We have not had one hearing, not one. And the Affordable Care Act was considered for well over 6 months. And they've set this arbitrary deadline, you know, pass it today by 7 o'clock tonight. And they did that a week ago. They'd have been better off to have said, okay, this is a big deal. Let's take our time. Let's have the hearings. Let's get the input from any and all parties in America who are affected by this. And let's fix the things that need fixing, and let's go forward with all the good things that worked. That's how the legislative process fixes things and gets things done. And that's the way it's operated for several hundred years. But that's not the method of that's been considered. It's all closed rules, rush, rush, rush. We have it to have it done by tonight at 7 o'clock. That's no way to legislate for the American people. Sit down in a bipartisan way and figure what's best for everybody concerned.